Good morning, friends at Faith Baptist Church. It's a privilege to speak to you this morning. Here I am in an empty church with Andrea recording these messages, and it just doesn't seem right. I miss not being together. I'm sure most of you feel the same way. Most of my thoughts are centered around one theme, and that has to do kind of with the situation we find ourselves in with this COVID virus. And things that come into our life that interrupt our regular routines and schedules and things aren't always welcome intrusions. And yet, I find that there's many positive things that come out of these things when we surrender them to God. A number of you have commented that you appreciate the voice recorded messages, and I'm grateful for your encouragement, because there's just something about that personal touch, whether it's a physical touch or whether it's just a familiar person's face or voice, that brings connection with those that you love. And on that note, I want to encourage you to connect with those you love by phone, because this upcoming weekend, Sunday, is another great opportunity for Mother's Day. And I realize that some long to be mothers and can't. I know there's all kinds of different feelings and emotions around the whole thing of mothers and God's design for a loving mother. And it's so needed today to understand what that is all about. And so for various reasons, some are really in pain over this celebration. Others are in great celebration because they are raised by a loving and caring mom. Some that want to be mothers can't bear children. All these different circumstances. But here's where I want to go with all of this. I want to talk about women. The unique role that God has given you. Special roles of nurture. Special roles in marriage, family, and even special roles in the church. And I find that often it's the women that are the backbone of a church's ministry. And if you study women in the Bible and their ministries, you soon see how unique the role of women is in God's plan for the church. So I bring it right back to home, right here. What would happen if the women at Faith Baptist Church weren't involved in ministry here? And I can see that women in this church have very much an influence, not only in the church, but in our community. So I want to thank you, women at Faith Baptist Church, and recognize your vital role in the existence and the future of this ministry. Your unique gifting and caring is abundantly evident, as I've had the privilege to observe some of you and work alongside of you. So I'd like to share some thoughts on family and the unique role of men and women in the family, and tie it together with the most important thing, and that is relationships that we have with those that we love, even during times of crisis. So I've got a text today that I'm using, just part of it, and I'd like to further expand in the future on this text, but it takes a great deal of explanation. It's found in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 33. It reads like this: "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave herself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. And in this way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies, for he who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. What is the biblical definition of a family? What is the biblical definition of marriage? Two very important questions that the church has to deal with today. And the church's impact on society is directly related to the biblical understanding and practice of marriage and family. And this text in Ephesians 5 is a dangerous text when two words are misunderstood. The two words are submission and love. And when you read this passage in the context of why it is written, you see in verse 32, this mystery is profound, and it refers to Christ and the church. There is to be a love relationship between the church and Jesus Christ, which includes love, submission, and respect, just as it applies to family and to marriage. Now, Christian family and marriage are the best examples of what our relationship with Jesus should be. Here's three things you want to remember when you're reading this text, and keep it in context of what it's really saying about the church's relationship to Jesus Christ and the importance of family, and in particular, marriage. The family is the masterpiece of God's creation. There is nothing more beautiful in anything that God created than the family. Number two, marriage and parenthood reveal God's character. Number three, God put children in families so they can experience his love and learn how to love others. So you see the great reasons behind what is said in this text, and referring to these three things to remember. The family is the masterpiece of God's creation. Marriage and parenthood reveal God's character. And thirdly, God put children in families so that they can experience his love and learn how to love others. How does that work with our society today? Our society today has no respect for the biblical view of marriage and family. In fact, they can't even give a biblical definition to marriage or family. So let me give you a biblical definition. The biblical definition of family is all about submission, love, and respect. Submission needs to be understood because often it is misunderstood. Being submissive isn't to be a doormat. Submission is not dominance over others. In fact, the Bible talks about mutual submission between men and women, husbands and wives. And even in human relationships of all kinds, submission is practiced, and respect is required in all of these relationships. And the Bible is full of examples of submission to those in authority, because there is purpose. Remember this, because there is purpose in having order. In God's design for marriage, he created women and men in unique ways that make marriage a beautiful union when those unique differences are celebrated and practiced. But the problem is they're often not understood or practiced or celebrated. And the Bible teaches headship for men and submission for women. Let me just read again from Ephesians. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And so it's when you look at what the headship of Christ is that you'll understand submission. Headship always has a responsibility to it. Headship has a tremendous price in it. What husband is ready to give his life for his wife? That is the greatest demonstration of love, that one would lay down their life for another. And that is what men are called to in marriage. Tell me what woman would not want to live under that protection, under that care, and under that love, because that is what God's design for men in marriage is all about. With that kind of understanding, I put forward this challenge. Men, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Women, respect your husbands and submit to their God-given authority. Women have so much influence in marriage. Influence in marriage and family relationships because of their emotional makeup. So what am I trying to say in all of this? How do I tie this up? Let me give you some thoughts that I want to end on. COVID-19 is a gift to us in allowing us to spend time in close relationships with those we love. I know in my household, confined to some of the spaces that we have, even though I have a large house, it can get awfully small if relationships between Eunice and me is not in a God-approved way. And for some, COVID-19 has robbed them of being close to those that they love and long to be with. And they miss the loving arms of human touch. Our family, we have times of togetherness on Sunday morning. We do our own little family church. And it's wonderful when the grandchildren come and we practice these things of proper distancing. It's quite a word, social distancing. And when we are centered in Christ and we talk about things of God, touches the heart, we read passages like this, we make comment on it, we pray together. Then we have a time of sharing, and often those sharing times get emotional. When one breaks down and cries, it's difficult not to get up and go throw your loving arms around that person and show how much you care. I can't imagine taking a funeral today and being with people who are mourning and not being able to comfort them and even just to touch them and to hold them. For God made us to be sensitive to those kind of things. And sometimes there's no words that can make up for what a hug can accomplish. A proper, respectful, loving hug. So many today miss the loving arms of human touch. And for those that grieve, or for those that are hurting, an appropriate hug can be so healing. Of all the things that we can learn from this time that we're in, we can look at our human relationships that God has put such an emphasis on, and recognize how different we are created, and how much we have to learn about one another. That applies to the church. I've talked about the differences that we have. And a loving and caring community of followers of Jesus is something that is so powerful today. You know, I think about a song that I've sung many times at different functions. We have this moment today. And the words that come to mind are these. Tender words, gentle touch, and a good cup of coffee, and someone who loves me and wants me to stay. Hold them near while they're here, and don't wait for tomorrow to look back and wish for today. Life is made up of moments. And all that happens in life passes by the watchful, loving care of our Heavenly Father. And we need to use this opportunity to strengthen marriages and build strong families and to build a strong faith community and loving relationships. And we need to deepen our relationship with our loving Heavenly Father and experience the joy that comes out of the greatest challenges in life. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these thoughts that you've brought to my heart and mind. I thank you, Father, for marriage, for family, for mothers, for fathers. Thank you for the church, and thank you, Lord, that the pattern and design of the church is patterned after our relationship with you. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves to you in these times of reflection, In times of thinking, how, Father, would you allow me to be a more loving person, a more caring husband, father, and grandfather, mother, wife, grandma. And so, Lord, in all of these things that I've talked about today, apply them by your Holy Spirit and use them for your good. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Have you ever been tempted to look back when things aren't right? Ever doubt in the darkness, but God has shown the light? Never look back to what you've left behind. When you're walking in the will of God, strength for each new day you'll find. Abraham left to possess the promised land, knowing he was guided by God's hand. When trials and troubles came along, he questioned, where did I go wrong? Where are all those things you promised me? And he was tempted to look back when things didn't look right. He was doubting in the darkness what God had shown in the light. Never look back to what you've left behind. When you're walking in the will of God, strength for each new day you'll find. Moses was a man of God, we all know, but needed a sign from the Lord before he'd go. Although God had set his people free, they still complained to him bitterly. So Moses asked God, why'd you ever choose me? And he was tempted to look back when things didn't look right. He was doubting in the darkness when God had shown the light. Never look back to what you've left behind. When you're walking in the will of God, strength for each new day you'll find. Peter walked on the Sea of Galilee. He looked about and his heart cried, Lord, save me. Oh, these waves are just too big for me. My faith isn't what it used to be. So Jesus, take my hand and rescue me. And he was tempted to look back when things didn't look right. He was doubting in the darkness what God had shown in the light. Never look back to what you've left behind. When you're walking in the will of God, strength for each new day you'll find. When you're walking in the will of God, strength for each new day you'll find.